Dear friends in Jesus Christ, if we think about it, God has blessed us, each of us, with many possessions, almost countless possessions. How do we respond to that? Well, the Bible says that we should respond by thanking Him, by honoring Him. And how do we honor God? By giving at least 10% of what He has given to us to the work of His kingdom. The Bible is very clear in such things. Well, in the early church, I'm talking about very shortly after the time of Jesus' ministry, resurrection, and ascension. So in the early church, the Bible records in Acts chapter 4 that a man who owned a tract of land sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. What did that man do? That man gave 100%. So he sold the piece of property, all of the money he got from it, he gave it to the work of the church. The Bible teaches that when we give more to the work of God's kingdom, God gives more to us. That doesn't make sense in a way. We might think, oh, if I give away more, I'm going to have less. But God has a way of working it out where when we give more to Him, He showers us with even more. God is saying to us, step out in faith and God will do it. I think most of you already know, you're already experiencing what the Bible teaches. Well, thinking about that land sale and donation, we have that right at the end of Acts chapter 4, and now we're coming to the beginning of Acts chapter 5. So that particular thing happened there, and that almost has to be the reason why, coming to chapter 5 now, we have this married couple, Ananias and Sapphira, and they basically decide to do the same thing. So they're going to sell a piece of property that they have, and they're going to give the proceeds to the work of God's kingdom. It could have been wonderful. However, we're going to find out it turned out horrible. Let's get into our text here. We come now to the situation. We're picking up in Acts chapter 5, verse 1, and the Bible says, a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. With what I have read so far, it really sounds fine what it says. We're going to find out more about the problem in a moment here, but really though, what was the problem? When they gave their donation to the apostles who were in charge of the church at that time, they either said or they implied that what they were giving was the full amount of the sale of the property. Very similar to what happened at the end of Acts chapter 4. Was their donation very generous? It must have been. They sold land, they got money, they probably gave the majority of it to the church, so it was very generous, but what was the problem? They lied. Again, they said or implied it was the full amount, when in fact it was not. What about us? Have we fallen into lies? Have we done so in connection with giving? Has somebody ever said to us, do you tithe? And maybe we said yes, and maybe we were only giving 5, 6, 7%. We weren't giving 10%. We're thinking, I give a lot, it's close, I'll say I tithe. Sounds like a very minor thing, doesn't it? Well, that's kind of what happened with Ananias and Sapphira. And actually, if we told the world what we give, they would probably be so surprised and think, wow, you are so generous, that is amazing. When we hear something like that, we're thinking, oh, I might not be doing it exactly right, but based on what the world says, I think my sin is okay. Makes sense, doesn't it? People would applaud what we're doing, so it must be okay. Let's go on here. We come now to the first lie. The Bible says, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came over all who heard of it. The young men got up and covered him, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Quite a startling thing here. First of all, let's think about the source of the lie. It tells us in the text that the source of the lie was Satan. Peter told him, Satan has filled your heart. Just to make a little comparison here a moment, think about Judas in the upper room before Jesus went to the cross. What does the Bible say? It says Satan entered into him. So a little bit similar here to Satan filling the heart. What does the Bible say about the connection between the heart and the mouth? Jesus said, the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. So when we hear what people say, that's giving us some indication of what's going on in the heart. Next question, to whom did Ananias actually lie? So he gave the money to the apostles in general. They were the leaders of the church. Peter is the one representing them, and he spoke back to Ananias. But the Bible says that he actually lied to the Holy Spirit. And then this is a very unique passage right here, because the Bible identifies who the Holy Spirit is. Peter said, you have not lied to men, but to God. Some people want to say, oh, the Father is the greatest, the Son is the second greatest, and the Holy Spirit, he would be far less. But go to the Athanasian Creed, though, and we find out that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit each are God, and yet there are not three gods, but one God. So we have the person of the Father, the person of the Son, and the person of the Holy Spirit. When we think about lying, every lie is against God. And we could say in a sense that every lie has its source with Satan. What does the Bible call him? The father of lies. However, though, as I take a look at the text here, there seems to be a significant difference between lying to a friend, let's say, versus lying to the representatives of God. See, when Ananias lied to the apostles, that seems to be on a different level than lying to a friend. Why might that be so? Well, it is through them that God says to withhold forgiveness or to extend forgiveness. So to lie to them seems to be on a higher level than lying to somebody else. Lying is never good, but it seems that when you lie to a representative of God, that is more like directly lying to God. Why was the penalty so harsh? Well, in other words, we've all lied, but here we are still alive. So why did they die even though we are still alive? Well, keep in mind that the New Testament church was fairly new. It had not been that long since Jesus died, was raised, and ascended. It had not been that long since the day of Pentecost when Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit. It had not been that long since many in Jerusalem were being brought to faith in the risen Savior, and it was during this time that the church was growing, and also too, here's an important one, the believers, these new believers, they were united together. They were rejoicing in their salvation. They had everything in common. Everything was going super. Then we come to Ananias and Sapphira. Let's understand that their sin was the first deliberate sin recorded in the history of the New Testament church. Think about that. This is the first deliberate sin recorded in the entire history of the New Testament church. Therefore, what did God do? God said, I have to make an example out of them. I have to react in a very strong way so that others don't think it's okay to do the same thing. So God took radical action. Now we come to the second lie. Picking up in verse 7 of Acts chapter 5, the Bible says, Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, that would be the wife of Ananias. She came in not knowing what had happened. She's probably thinking, where is my husband? I've had dinner on the table for 2 hours, and he never came home. Where is he? What's going on? And Peter responded to her, Tell me, Sapphira, whether you sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, Yes, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, Why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well. And immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Sin is never good, but multiple sins, piling sin on top of sin, is even worse. Think about lying for a moment. When we tell a first lie, and then someone questions the truthfulness of what we said, then we come to what I'm calling a key moment. In that key moment, we can either tell a second lie to cover the first lie, or we can confess the first lie. A very key moment. When it comes to a second lie, what are we doing? If we choose to lie a second time, we are really pushing God further away. However, though, when we confess the first lie, that means we are admitting it, we are sorry for it, we are looking to Jesus with faith in him for the gifts of forgiveness and peace. That is wonderful. Do we want to push God further away? By no means. What is God saying? Don't pile a second lie on the first lie. Rather, confess the sin and know that in Christ you are forgiven and rejoice in God's peace, knowing that everything is good between you and God. Going on to the end here of our text, we come to verse 11, and it says, And great fear, that means great alarm, great fright, came over the whole church and over all who heard these things. I'm guessing that when the people heard these things, they reasoned it out like this, and they said, Well, wait a minute now. Ananias lied, and then he died. Oh, and Sapphira, she lied, and then she died. So I think these are some good conclusions for us to come to today. Let's conclude that sin is a serious matter. We can see with them, they lied and it brought death upon them immediately. Sin is a very serious matter. Let's also conclude, I have lied, and because I lied, I should have died. That is a proper way to look at it. Also, too, what else should we do? We should think about our sin and say, Oh, dear God, I know it was wrong. I know it was against you. I know it was against others. I am sorry, and I don't want to lie again. I don't want to sin again. These are things that God wants us to think about. And then finally, let us know that in Christ, we are forgiven, and we are forgiven because he is the Son of God, because he did live a perfect life in our place, because he took our sins, because he took our punishment, because he finished his work to open heaven for us. So in Christ, we are forgiven. That is such good news. Let me conclude in this way. Let's go on to a truth from today's sermon. So the truth is a very familiar Bible passage there in Romans 6, where it says, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. We see that with Ananias and Sapphira. They sinned, and immediately they physically died. That is really how it should be. That's how we should understand sin. But what happens, though, is that we sin, and yet we're still alive, and then we begin to think, oh, the sin must not have been that bad because I'm still alive. That is the wrong conclusion to come to. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and God wants us to know that is true. And when it says death, it's talking about physical death, and it's talking about eternal death. In other words, eternal punishment. That is what we deserve because of our sins. How about something relevant? Here we are, sinners, and yet we are continuing to live. So let us know that God has shown us mercy. What does that mean? That means the bad, the punishment that God should have released upon us so that we not only physically died, but we were punished forever, God held that punishment back. Isn't that so wonderful that God held it back? That is his mercy toward us. Where did that punishment go? He held it back from us, but he released it upon his own son when our sins were upon him. And then finally, something inspirational. Let us know that God is gracious to us. God has shown us great grace by forgiving us. Do we deserve his forgiveness? By no means. So grace is when God gives us the good that we do not deserve. Think how blessed we are. We deserve the punishment. He has held it back. We don't deserve the love and salvation, but he freely gives it to us because of the finished work of our Savior, his Son, Jesus Christ. We are so very blessed. May the joy of our salvation move us to go forward from here today with a new attitude, with a new heart, with a new way of better honoring our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you so much for your grace and mercy to us. We pray that you would assure us that we are forgiven of all of our sins. We pray that you would fill us with great thanksgiving, and we pray that you would help us to go forward from here and sin no more unto your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.